Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR. And more than money, Faisal, one of the biggest questions that we get, and we're starting the year with a headline focus, is all around inflation.
The I word, uh-oh.
Yeah. And how's it going to impact me? And what do we mean? What does it mean from an investment perspective? And we've heard transitory, and now it's not transitory. What's going on with inflation?
Yeah, and multi-decade highs.
Yeah.
7% in the U.S., 5.5% core inflation rate
right.
in the U.S., not seen since the 80s.
Right.
This is a problem.
Well,
or
it is a problem.
Or is it?
Yeah, well, it's a short-term problem at least, right? And let's get a sense. We want to get a sense of where this inflation is coming from and how we should be thinking about it and its longer-term impacts. And nobody better to help us with that than Benny Tall, who's the Deputy Chief Economist at CIBC World Markets, our regular recurring guest. Benny, welcome back to the show.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so you heard our setup there. I'd like to maybe just get your initial thoughts on inflation. You talked to lots of retail investors like we do, and people are really worried. They're going to the grocery store and they're paying more. They're going to fill up their car and they're paying more. And as particularly retirees, people are worried that this is going to just destroy their retirement. So maybe just give us your take on inflation, where it's coming from.
Yes, that's the key question. And I think that we have to put things in perspective, because when you are in a situation, and we are in a situation, you tend to exaggerate the long-term impact of that situation. Same goes for COVID. You know, people talked about COVID as a condition, it will be with us forever. We know that will not be the case. Same goes for inflation. Now, it is true that nobody knows where inflation will be 4 or 6 months from now. And when I say nobody, I include the Bank of Canada, the Fed, nobody knows. We are all pretending, but we don't know. And we have to face it, because there are so many forces and we can discuss them. At the same time, we also have to realize one thing, and that's extremely important. At the end of the day, this is not about inflation. This is about how much the Bank of Canada and the Fed will have to raise interest rates to bring inflation back to where it belongs. You see, for decades now, the Bank of Canada and the Fed and the ECB in Europe have been building their reputation as inflation fighters for decades. They work very hard to do so. Believe me, they are not going to throw it away. They will fight inflation if there is a need, and they will raise interest rates. So the question is not whether or not inflation will be 7% a year or 2 years from now, but what it will take to bring it back to 2%, because it will go back to 2%. The question is, what will be the cost? Now, if you talk about the sources of those inflation forces, we have to see how much of it is related to COVID and how much of it is more than that. And the number one issue that we are all discussing is the supply chain issues. Yeah, you cannot get anything, and that's why prices are rising, rightly so. But this is important to understand. This is not really a supply chain issue. This is a demand shock. You see, if you look at what's happening in the US when it comes to consumptions of goods, we are talking about a situation in which it is about 25% higher than where it should be. Why? You press a button and you get your exercise bike. It's very easy. 25% more than it should be. Just to put it in perspective, it's like parachuting 75 million Americans, new Americans, and the minute they land, they start spending. Mm. 75 million people overnight. That's what we are talking about. This is a demand shock for goods that you have to ship. Even a normally functioning supply system will have difficulties dealing with this demand shock. And of course, this is not a normally functioning supply system for obvious reasons. At the same time, you take COVID out of the equation, and this supply chain issue will disappear. We have seen it before Omicron. It started to ease, and then we had the Omicron story. And if I'm right, or even semi-right, and by spring, summer, we'll go back to semi-normal, then you will see it easing. And that's exactly what the Bank of Canada and the Fed are telling us. Clearly, they misjudge how long it will take, but it doesn't mean that it's forever. The other source is wages, and we can discuss it if you wish.
Yeah, Benny, before we go into the wages topic, let's go back to that demand shock that you're referring to. How long does the shock last? Does it ever abate, or does it continually go forward like this? Considering there's so much money in the sidelines that people haven't spent yet, so much money in people's bank accounts on both sides of the border, do you think this demand shock will abate?
Demand shock for goods, you see? People are buying goods because they cannot get services. So they spend their money on all kinds of goods. Now, the minute we open up, and let's assume, and again, nobody knows, but let's assume that by spring, summer, we are turning from a pandemic to endemic. I think it's a reasonable assumption. We can pray, but at the same time, it's a reasonable assumption that by the second half of 2022, we will be in an endemic situation. Namely, COVID will not disappear, but as a society, we will be able to function. If that's the case, you open up restaurants, movies, you know, everything. All this extra money that you're talking about will go to services. At one point, after consuming goods for 2 years, enough is enough. How much stuff do we need?
Yeah.
What you need is services, experiences.
Yeah.
And this money will go there. Now, services you don't ship. There's no supply chain issues. So we might see prices rising in services, but clearly that will ease the pressure on the supply chain system globally.
Then let's go back to now to wages. With all this happening, and we're seeing the quote unquote great resignation in the United States, not much here in Canada from what I'm seeing in the numbers, but we're seeing and we're hearing more and more people are saying, more business owners are saying they have to compete with higher wages. Is that a permanent thing? Or are they going to be more creative and not be able to have that kind of cost going forward?
That's the key question. That's the question that if there is more inflationary pressure after COVID, it will be wages. We know that there was shortage before in terms of labor, before the crisis, and now it's all over. You cannot find people. Now, you cannot find people for many reasons. People don't want to get sick, therefore they don't go to work. People get government money, therefore saying, you know, we'll stay home and collect. A lot of things are happening that can change. Now, wages in the US are rising faster than wages in Canada. Why? Because we have new immigrants. In 2021, despite COVID, we got 400,000 new immigrants. In the US, they got 500,000.
Yeah.
Now, the last time I checked, the US is still 10 times larger than we are.
Yes.
And therefore, relatively speaking, we are much, much more in terms of accepting new immigrants. This is a much more significant factor. So it easing the supply of labor situation relative to the US, and that's why wages there are rising faster. So that's something to take into account. At the same time, still wages are rising. And the question is how corporate Canada and corporate US will respond. Of course, one response is to raise wages in order to attract people. But another factor is people say, you know what? The cost of labor is rising. I cannot find people.
Mm-hmm.
I have to start investing in capital.
Mm-hmm.
Until COVID, we were just hiring people and not investing as much in capital. And therefore, you know, productivity was going down. I suggest that the response curve coming from corporations is, say, you know what? The share of labor in production is way too high now, too costly. Let's start investing in technology, and we're starting to see it. If you look at numbers coming from the US, clearly investment and purchasing of high-tech goods and technology is there. Namely, they are investing in capital to substitute for labor.
Yeah, this is a very interesting move. Yeah, Benny, this is a very interesting move that's happening. I would like to discuss after the break about how this now transforms to the economy globally. Where are the opportunities of growth? What do we have to be concerned about going forward? And this is part of the makeup when it comes to handling your retirement. As the world changes, yep. as different things happen in the world, it's going to impact the market, it's going to impact how you see your retirement. So how do you bulletproof your retirement through all these different changes? We'll talk about our structure and our discipline at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, January 18th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, you want to know what the path of inflation is, how to protect yourself, and also how to profit from it. Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR in More Than Money.